pacing inside the doorway.
Tune to the flip side. Your host, Robbie Noel, with you for 1 hour. This hour brought to you by Republic Trading Group. Our toll-free number is 1-800-691-7898. The web address, republictradinggroup.com. Well, if you're happy, clap your hands. Wall Street was very happy today, and everybody was clapping their hands after the Fed minutes came out, and economists deduced from it that there would be no interest rate hikes this year. Dow immediately soared 111 points to close the day at 13,633. NASDAQ up 20 points at 2,592 in light of Motorola announcing it was going to cut 4,000 more jobs and move them to India. S&P 500 in new record territory, closing up 12 points at 1,530. In the metals complex, gold closed down $3.30 at $653.90. Silver up a penny at $13.19. Platinum off $2 at $1,264. Palladium off $3 at $372. Currently in Asian trading, not much change over there. Gold off 50 cents at 654.40, silver off 3 cents at 1322, platinum up 5 at 1270. Crude oil ended the day down 17 cents at $63.32 a barrel. Good news at the gas pump, prices have fallen by a penny. And the U.S. dollar, obviously gaining strength, albeit very weak strength. Up 11 basis points on the day. U.S. dollar index closing the day at 82.35. What do we make of all, there was a semi-correction in the Chinese markets overnight, which amazing. Europe caught a cold from that. I thought Chinese markets weren't supposed to affect the rest of the world. Anyway, was there some serious manipulation going on by the forces of evil today? Of course there was. Couldn't afford to have the American market going down after the Chinese market. Anyway, stay tuned, my friends. It's Wednesday. Charles Carlson will be joining us from Straight Gate Ministries after we do a little bit.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com. Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
This lightly, but what may be potentially the greatest U.S.-born political threat to peace is not the terrorist sleeper cells of Al-Qaeda, or even the deployment of more U.S. troops to the Middle East. Instead, it's a prolific spread of a brand of fundamentalist Christian end times pseudo-theology linked to a massive support, military and financial, for the state of Israel. The threat goes by the name of Christian Zionism. According to expert observers and critics, the movement is harnessing incredible religious, political, and financial power thanks largely to highly visible and well-funded preachers, their churches and congregations, and the financial commitments they make. The implications of Christian Zionism's belief come political agenda, if one pays attention to it, are truly frightening. One of the experts that helps us see through this fog of Christian Zionism, and also to try and help you deal with those that think you're a little nuts for bringing this up, my pleasure to welcome Charles Carlson from Straight Gate Ministries back to Republic Broadcasting. How are you doing, sir?
Thank you. Thank you, Robbie. I'm happy to be back. It's a pleasure. I enjoyed listening to your market, your little market summary for today.
Yes, it's short, quick, and to the point.
Yes, it is.
Was I overemphasizing the greatest threat to the political threat to the United States? It's not the terrorists or anything other perceived boogeyman out there, but obviously it's right here at home, and it's called Christian Zionism.
That's absolutely right, because it's so well organized. Christian Zionism, the people who participate in this movement called, we call it Judeo-Christianity. They call themselves now Christian Zionists, but the people that are involved in it, really don't think of themselves as being organized. They think they're very independent. They think their church is just a place they hang out. But the influence of the power leaders in this organization, and we know these names, these media names. It isn't just big churches, but it's also very big media, led by people like the Crouches and like Pat Robertson, who's now kind of over the hill, but who's had a big influence on the way millions of people have thought. And they're not all just people in the Baptist church or the evangelical church. It also influences people in the Catholic churches. It influences people in mainline churches whose pastors and leaders don't even know their parishioners are listening to the Crouch Network in the morning and that they're being influenced by John Hagee and people like that. So you have something like 24% of the voting public, according to the Pew Foundation's polls, who fit into this category of Christian Zionists. And Robbie, in our work, we think the number is bigger than that because we think no one has quite taken into account how enormously powerful the so-called Christian right media is. And, of course, that includes the talk show hosts who don't consider themselves Christians, who don't talk like Christians, but who are sort of secular guides to the Christian right. The Limbaughs and the Hannitys and people like that are listened to by people who are part of the evangelical media, or the evangelical Christian right. So I don't think you're exaggerating a bit. And, of course, the direction of Christian Zionism is directly toward war. It is a war movement. They do consider war necessary. If you try to tell them that our war in Iraq, for instance, is wrong, they will tell you that it's necessary. This is a necessary movement. And they ignore Christianity when they say that. They simply step out onto a secular ledge and say, well, we need to do this. It's a pragmatic necessity that we bomb and destroy Iraq. And, of course, they have the same attitude if you ask them about Israel's ongoing persecution, suppression, occupation of the Palestinian people. They'll say the same thing, that it's necessary.
Well, the core belief system is that support of the state of Israel is divinely mandated obligation in order to ensure their own salvation and hasten the second coming of Jesus. And ironically, Jews are then expected either to convert and accept Jesus or to be damned along with all other infidels.
Yes, the evangelical movement, in its radical extremes, of which people like Tim LaHaye, who wrote the Left Behind series, they bring this out all of the time. It ends in a bloody affair. Christianity is going to end up in a bloody affair where, as some have said, I've heard this stated to me very recently, Christ will return with an iron rod to pound his enemies into the ground, and it's going to happen in Israel, they believe. So this sense of false prophecy leads them to feel that supporting the state of Israel is absolutely a part of their religion. You have not exaggerated that one bit. It is a religious movement, a matter of faith for a Christian to a Christian Zionist to support the state of Israel. And John Hagee has said that essentially he said things like this: any Christian who does not like Jews will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. So they reduce this down to a very political thing.
And that's basically that one verse in the book of Genesis, right?
Yes, the excuse for it comes from the book of Genesis, that back in the 12th chapter, that states that provides an account of God speaking directly to a man called Abraham and offering him, telling him he's going to provide him with safety and land if he will carry out Abraham the purpose that God ordains for him. And from that promise to Abraham, And he also says in protecting Abraham that he would bless those who bless him and curse those who curse him. And from this, they have extrapolated that the people who call themselves by the name Israel 3,000 years later and live on the land that they took from the Palestinians are entitled to that land on account of Abraham's promise received from God 3,000 years before. Even though God says nothing about, and not everyone's going to believe this account, of course, but Christians generally take this very seriously, and it is a foundational thing in Christianity that Abraham was a forerunner to Joseph, who was the stepfather of Jesus. And so it's looked upon as, Abraham is looked upon a holy figure to all of Christendom. And but what evangelical Christianity has done is they have, from this, they have made it a land claim. They've made put God in the real estate business, and they've claimed that God has provided a certain piece of land for the present-day state of Israel, and that he will, and then they also hold that God will punish those who do not honor Israel, and he will bless those who bless current, present, stay date of Israel, based upon the promise made to Abraham 3,000 years before. So you could be cursed if you did not, were not kind enough, and you could be blessed with presumably all kinds of wonderful things if you're good enough to Jews and to the state of Israel. And this is a reality of Christian Zionism, or even those more gentle versions of Christian Zionism, which go by maybe Judeo-Christianity. So it's not an exaggeration at all to say that it is a work of faith for 24 million people in this country of ours who are very active politically to back the state of Israel no matter what it does. And if you look at the latest polls on Palestine and Israel, you'll see that Israel, by about a 60-40 margin, has the support of the American people, no matter what they've done, in spite of everything that they've currently done. But if you were to look at where that support comes from, almost an entire margin of support comes from the Christian Zionist in the United States. If it were not for the Christian Zionist in the United States, the state of Israel would have negative support in the United States because of the cost of maintaining the relationship with them, the brutality, the things that a lot of people do know about what happens over there. But the margin of support for the state of Israel does come, is just coincidentally about the size of the Christian right movement, about 24 million people, according to the Pew Foundation of Philadelphia's polls. That's their figures. Now, that comes out to be about 70 million people. Our own figures, our own guess, and we don't have a way of counting, but our own guess is that figure is not in any way exaggerated. If anything, it's probably a higher figure because of the influence on others.
We are speaking with Charles Collinsworth, and we'll take a short break and be right back.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering. World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Welcome back, my friends. Bobby Noel with you on the flip side. The special guest this hour, Charles Carlson from Straight Gate Ministries. You can access his website at WHTT.org. You there, Charles?
Yes, I'm here. Okay. Indeed, I am.
We're having just a little audio problem.
Okay.
Explain to me. Obviously, you've explained Christian Zionism, but what's the connection with Jewish Zionism?
Well, of course, Christian Zionism is very popular with Jewish Zionism because it's their biggest support group in the United States. Jews in the United States are not totally Zionist. Quite a large number of American Jews don't support Israeli Zionism. As a matter of fact, a large number of Israeli Jews do not support Jewish Zionism. So where do they go for their grassroots support? And the answer is the Christian right. The other reason that Israeli Jews love Christian Zionists is they come to Israel in buses and planes and boats, and they stay and they spend a lot of money in the five-star hotels. Tourism in Israel is probably the backbone of that tourism, could said to be evangelical Christian churches, pastors, people like Jerry Falwell, who just died, took trips there for 30 years, maybe several a year, tours constantly back and forth. It's big business.
Michael Medved's going on another cruise, and he goes on them on a regular basis, taking cruise ships over to Israel.
Absolutely. So you have a huge tourism there base that comes out of the Christian right. Then you have financial support of various kinds, some of which they probably helps them and some of which they probably don't care about. But from the Israeli point of view, they get they also get a very loud political support here from Christian Zionism. Christians United for Israel was started by John Hagee of San Antonio, Texas. His name is pretty well known. He's maybe the heir apparent to follow in the footsteps of Jerry Falwell, who just died. He's very, very prominent and very outspoken. In July, from the 17th to the 19th, 3 or 4 days, they're holding a lobbying session in Washington, D.C. Their purpose will be to lobby everybody in Washington, D.C., and they will attract thousands of leaders of from Christian churches, evangelical dispensational churches, not all outright Zionist churches, but a lot of broad support will be rounded up, and the pressure will be put on Congress, who can't stand much pressure, as you know. The pressure will be put on them for several days, and then continue to support the State of Israel in every way. Support the building of the wall, support the gifts of money and arms, support any effort to limit what Israel might do to the Palestinians, just support absolutely anything that the State of Israel wants. That's what this lobbying effort's all about. And our organization has been asked to come there and at least for one day meet. There's a big public forum meeting on one of those days. I think it's the 17th. And we've been asked to come there and arrange a vigil at John Hagee's night. It's called Night to Honor Israel. And if we do that, we hope that we're not the only ones. We hope that there will be other people joining us. And it looks like we probably will go on the 17th of August. So these are the reasons that, now, from the standpoint of the Christian groups, what do they have? What do they get back for honoring Israel? Absolutely nothing. There is absolutely nothing in this for Christians. They cannot receive any possible benefit from it. The theological arguments for what they do are so thin and transparent that anyone that seriously looks at them can't help but see through them. So all of the benefits go to the State of Israel. There's absolutely no benefit that comes from any Christian Zionist in the United States for doing this, unless, of course, it's the leaders who are collecting enormous amounts of money and funneling some of it on to the State of Israel.
How do Christian Zionists deal with the Prince of Peace theory?
They have no answer for that. We've gone to some 50 churches. We've been to some as many as four times where we've held vigils outside. We've yet to find any pastor or layman who's willing to discuss the question of the Prince of Peace. And the concept of the Prince of Peace in Christian Bibles is not a passing fancy that drifted through Jesus' mind at some time or that something he casually stated after dinner. It is a cardinal principle of following Christ, is that he is the Prince of Peace, the peacemaker, and that peace is demanded of his followers. So it's a great question. How do they handle the Prince of Peace? There is no answer for that in Christian Zionism. And we've never heard one.
Yeah, I know. When we come back, this is most probably a dilemma that's faced you. Have you tried to convert a Christian Zionist, or how do you approach someone who believes in Zionism? We'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Welcome back, my friends, on this Wednesday. We are speaking to Charles Carlson from Straight Gate Ministries, website whtt.org. This is a dilemma I face, not talking about religion, just simply talking to friends about politics. When someone has a belief system in their head, that they think, and I'll use this word very loosely, they think they know the gospel. And trying to explain to them what Judeo-Christian theory is, or Christian Zionism is, you are going to be obviously trying to debate with someone who refuses to have their icons, their idols, taken off a pedestal. And so the question is, how do you deal with friends and associates and just people you simply run into that you try and steer in the right direction? You're trying to, you know, shepherd the sheep in to the top of the mountaintop. How do you deal with these people? How can you convince them that you know, the errors of their ways without obviously insulting them or, you know, making them feel like they're, you know, obviously a tucker short of a full plate for believing in this theory for so long.
Yeah. Well, it's every biggest big dilemma as you've defined it. And it's common to a lot of people. and we hear from them all the time. So it's nothing unique. With 70 million people, we're talking about our wives, in some cases, but husbands, kids, fathers and mothers, people, close people at work, people we know real well, who you can talk to about almost anything, but if you get into this area of the state of Israel or the need to have the war in the Middle East or something related to that, all of a sudden they turn cold and they go off on another, their eyes glaze over and they simply say it's necessary. And usually you can't say much more about that. And if you ask them a little bit, then they will come out with the idea that, well, this is God's war. God has ordained this. God is protecting his people. This is a necessity. We don't like it, but God has done it in the past, and it's not our place to challenge God. This is the thing that you receive in the extreme case. In dealing with this, a lot of what we consider to be logic with other people does not work very well. For instance, with most people, if you sat down with them and you told them that the Palestinian situation is something they don't understand, that they're mistaken about the numbers, that there's 10, accurately 8 Palestinian children who die for every Israeli child in the so-called wars in the Middle East, that the ratio of adults is much higher, that the average Palestinian does not have enough to eat, that they live inside a jail and that there's walls around them, and it's all supported by American money. Most rational people would say, can you prove any of this? And if you could prove it to them, they'd be interested. But with evangelicals, that does not work. Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to prove a negative. You're trying to prove that what they believe is not true. And what they believe is that God has ordained this. So this is a long way of getting around explaining it. But when we go to churches, evangelical churches, realizing that those people all believe in the Bible, just as I did when I went to evangelical church, and I think, Robbie, you told me you had. And that experience. We all carried Bibles, and we all believed that at least we believed at least part of what was in them. And so the answer to this, no matter how inviting it may be to discuss secular things, secular arguments about why the Israelis are wrong or something like that, you need to. Use very simple scriptural arguments and ask them simple questions and ask them to explain how do you get around the Prince of Peace. I mean, the very thing that you just said a few minutes ago is a great start. And it's a question that you just have to lay out there and hang on to so that when the answer comes back and it's a dodge, usually it's a dodge by going to the Old Testament and finding something in there that talks about war and saying this was God's war back then and he's still carrying on the same war today. It's the same people he's having war with. And in other words, that's the dodge. It's to carry you off somewhere else. And in talking to your evangelical friends, you have to become kind of stubborn, patiently stubborn, about sticking to these very simple questions about who would Jesus bomb? What does it mean to be a peacemaker? What did he mean by blessed are the peacemakers? If he didn't mean to make peace and not to support war, why should the war in Israel and Palestine be different from all the other wars? Why would Jesus before that, when he lived in the same place and at that very same time, faced with very much the same people and the same problems, still held out for peace? And so I know a lot of people listening probably don't like the Bible. And we were recently at a church, and one of the ladies, a beautiful lady who was there doing a vigil of her own at that church, she didn't even know we were coming, though she had heard of us. And she told me she was an atheist. And I asked her why, and she said, because of the way Christians act. And here she She was an atheist out there with her own money, carrying papers that she printed up in the library, spending her own time trying to persuade Christians coming out of a church that they were doing wrong. So it's a very surprising thing that some of the people who don't even would not allow themselves to be identified with Christianity because of what they perceive Christianity is doing are still acting Christian-like, Christ-like, and they are the peacemakers. And the people coming out of the church, some of them are steaming because of what they've been told inside and what they're about to be told by John Hagee, and are campaigning openly to bomb Iran. John Hagee wants to bomb Iran. The support right now for the bombing of Iran, just as I think you said in the opening remarks, there would be none were it not for the evangelical right. So it's extremely important to your listeners, even if they don't feel that they're Christian, they don't want to be Christian, they'd rather not, they're sort of insulted, whatever their feelings are, it's still very important to learn how to deal with evangelicals. And in order to do that, you need to take their book, even if it's not your book, and you need to open it up and look at it and show it to them. And what we all do when we go to the churches is we carry little New Testaments in our pocket because they're so small, and we challenge people with that. And we simply ask them, can you show us in this book, anywhere in this book, where Jesus ever said anything that would allow you to spend one dime to take the life of someone else's child 10,000 miles away from your home? Can you just show me in the book someplace, just anywhere that you can show me? I want to see one verse. And this is a starting place because none of them will try it. They won't even attempt it. And this is the great proof of the error of Christian Zionism, is that they will not attempt to find in the book of Christianity anything to support their position. They have to go somewhere else.
I get into arguments with people, and I don't even get into religious arguments. I get into arguments with people, challenge them on their theory that Israel's a democracy.
Yes.
Which it's not.
Which it's not.
They don't have a constitution, and their policies, having lived in the countries I've lived in for the half of my life, and I will tell you that they are no different to the former government of South Africa, no different to the former country where I came up, Rhodesia, mm-hmm. where obviously the minority is protected over the majority, which when you think of the world outcry against my little country of Rhodesia and South Africa for having those exact same policies, you just see hypocrisy all around with people who do not challenge Israel on the same grounds. Anyway, having said that, we got a couple of callers. Let's try and squeeze them in. We got Annette in West Virginia. Hi, Annette.
Good evening, gentlemen. I wonder why you don't zero in on a blockbuster question, the identity of Israel. How can they say that these Jews that are over there in that state, Israeli state, or even in this country, are descendants of Israel when their own encyclopedias say otherwise?
Annette, that's very good.
Thanks, Annette.
There's more to this.
Okay.
You see, their encyclopedias say that over 90% are Khazars, and a very small percentage are maybe part Israel, but they're not pure Israel. The children of Israel are identified by the marks, the direct marks of the Bible, and the prophecies pertaining to Israel, and even with the Israeli state that they are claiming it's biblical. I'm not disclaiming that it's biblical. I'm just saying it doesn't refer to Israel. It refers to the counterfeit, and you will find that in Malachi, because it's a condemnation of the Edomites who want to set up a country in that land, and it's not going to prosper. And if you go to the Jewish Encyclopedia, it says that Edom is in modern Jewry. So, and then you have one of the rabbis, Rabbi Abba Hillel Silva, who made the statement in the publication Liberal Judaism in January 1949, stating that with the establishment of the Israeli state, the children of Cain are wanderers no more. So you
Didn't Silva want to become a Christian?
Pardon me?
Didn't Silva want to actually become a Christian?
I don't really know. I just copied that quote that he made.
Okay. I think he was a Russian Jew, right?
I really don't know. I just know the name and the quote.
Yeah.
And those are very good arguments. And if you can get have you ever yourself sat down and had a talk with a very devout evangelical out of a Christian Zionist church?
Well, I have sent my materials to certain organizations.
Have you ever had the chance to sit down face to face and present your arguments to an evangelical?
Well, I haven't really gotten out. Wait a minute. I compiled a great deal of information and gave it to a pastor in our area, and he was very angry after he saw it.
Yeah.
And I've never called back to have a discussion with him.
Well, I want to tell you that the information you've presented is very important, and we should all know it. We should all realize that there is no tracing of the bloodlines of the present inhabitants of Palestine or of Israel back to Abraham. So the claim that somehow God made a promise to some people 3,000 years ago, and because someone else has adopted that name today and calls themselves Israel, that they somehow are the sons of Abraham and are entitled to that land. From an argument point of view, we find it sort of better to ask them if they can show where anyone there has any DNA that they can trace back to Abraham to show why they would have a right to even argue about this land.
I saw in the American Free Press the name of a company that is able to determine your DNA and your race or mutation. Isn't that something?
Yes, it is. But unfortunately, they don't have any of Abraham's DNA, so and so I don't know if that comparison is going to take place.
I have a little qualification to that, because the Edomites are descendants of Abraham. So they really shouldn't make the claim that they go back to Abraham. The promises were to certain limited promises were to Abraham, and Abraham had Ishmael as well as Jacob. But the promised seed was specifically Israel. So they can't claim to be Israel.
Yes. Well, of course, Israel was a tribe at that time, but the present state of Israel has sort of just borrowed the name when they were given statehood by the United Nations. So those are good arguments, and I hope you have success. And I suggest you go and talk to some Christian. Just go to some of these church people and talk to them. And see if they'll listen to you, and see how you do discussing this with them. And then let me know how it comes out. You have our website. You can contact us and let us know how you do, how
sir,
you come
I'm,
out. And I appreciate talking to you.
I'm not on the internet, sir, so I couldn't do
well,
that.
You can write us a letter, P.O. Box 14491, Scottsdale, Arizona, 85267.
Thanks, Annette. We got to go, Annette.
Thank you, Annette.
We're trying to squeeze in here. Let's go to Dave in Texas. Hey, Dave.
Hello, Robbie.
How are you doing, sir? Yes, sir.
Hi, how are you doing, Robbie? This is Dave in Texas. If you got a couple minutes, I got a few things I can say about this subject matter to correct a point on your maybe a slight variance with your previous caller. Edom, the land of Edom, is in what is now the Kingdom of Jordan. And the people who of Edom are descendant from Ishmael, which is basically the people of Jordan and Arabia. They're not the Israelis. As far as the population of Israel, over half of the population of Israel are what are called Sephardim. They're the population of Jews that have come from the Middle East and Mediterranean, and at least that portion of Israel's population can claim direct genetic descendancy from the Jews in the Holy Land at the time of Jesus. Not all of the Jewish Europeans are called Ashkenazic can, but at least a limited portion can. But all the, virtually all the Sephardim can. But there's some other points I'm willing to wait for the break that I'd like to make if you let me.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. We'll take a short break and be right back. We're speaking with Charles Carlson from Straight Gate Ministries, web address whtt.org. We'll be back.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. For the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
Welcome back, my friends. I hate to break into the bump music like that, but we only have a very few short minutes left. We're speaking with Chuck Carlson from Straight Gate Ministries, and on the phone, Dave in Texas. Continue your thoughts, Dave.
I'm still here. Real quickly, I want to make a couple of succinct points of how I view this thing overall, myself. I'm an American. I'm Christian. I'm someone who believes in the patriot movement and American sovereignty, and I don't want anything to happen in the world in terms of world government, which I oppose. And there are certain aspects of Zionism which go too far, way too far for me, and I'm not blindly supportive of all that or all of Israel's policies, the Israeli government's policies. I think they need to stop abusing Palestinians and end the occupation of the territories. But I do believe Israel has a right to exist within the pre-67 boundary lines.
May
I don't think Israel should be destroyed.
Dave, may I ask you a question?
Sure.
I'm being short, and I want to make sure I get asked this.
Go ahead.
Do you believe that the state of Israel is the fulfillment of biblical prophecy?
I think under international law, that's irrelevant. Israel has a right to exist as under current international law within the pre-67 boundary lines, although not beyond them, because international law gave Israel that right. Whether Israel is directly, indirectly, or not at all related to the Bible is a separate question. Now, I think it's at least indirectly probably related to the Bible, though that's my personal opinion. You don't have to agree with it. But that's a separate question from does Israel have a legal right to exist if they withdraw from all occupied territories. They do have a right to exist within their internationally recognized boundaries. Okay. And they should continue to exist and become a true democracy within those boundary lines. Within those boundary lines, by the way, someone said something that Racine referred to the Jews being a minority. In the pre-67 boundary lines, the Jews are 80% or so majority within those boundary lines. They're not a minority there. So that's a little bit different from, say, former, with respect to Rabbi Noel, who I do respect, by the way, former Rhodesia. My view on Rhodesia is, yes, there should have been into white minority rule in what was Rhodesia. There should not be black one-party-only dictatorial rule under Robert Mugabe, who's abused that country and totally ruined that country economically and socially with most of the population who are no longer supporting his government, but he doesn't allow them to vote him out democratically. And the Palestinians, I don't think Israel should abuse them, but the Palestinians have done acts of terrorism of their own, and they've done some things to hurt their own cause economically, like socialist policies under Arafat in the territories, which constricted Palestinian farmers growing their own crops, which would have alleviated some of the poverty and some of the food shortages in the West Bank and Gaza. Not totally, but it was somewhat. So partly there's some self-inflicted wounds in the part of the Palestinian radical factions like Hamas, and then there's things that the Israelis have done that they must reform. Israel must stop abusing the people in the territories and withdraw. But that's a separate question. Does Israel not have a right to exist? I think it does. I think every legal nation under international law should have not lose its sovereignty. I don't think the European Union nations should give their sovereignty away to the European Union under world government.
Well,
I think every nation should keep its sovereignty.
Excuse me, but let me ask. What you said is kind of typical of some of the things we hear at churches. Israel has a right to exist. But the question is, Israel has, you said earlier that Israel had occupied the Palestinian territory.
The West Bank and
Gaza. So they've violated the principles of the partition agreement by which the United Nations handed them the right, the so-called right, to go in and take property.
They should withdraw from those areas and return those areas.
Rights are not conveyed, however, by governments. Rights are conveyed by God. And when you use the right to exist or the right to hold property, the right to hold land, you're getting into an area that really is God's province. Rights come from God. We're talking about a political state. And
well, God hasn't decreed that Israel shouldn't exist, that's for sure.
Right, and so, but all men have a right to exist.
Sure, I don't want
to
say
we're really talking about the rights of the individual Palestinian, the rights of the individual Israeli, not the rights of political subdivisions to exist. So that would be my comment. Robbie, I'll punt to you.
We should have a two-hour show on this one. That was far too short.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you, Mr. Carlson, sir.
It's a pleasure.
See you again next week?
Sure, of course. I love it. Very nice.
There we go, my friends. Health Talk, Great Gate Ministry, WHCC.org. We'll do this again tomorrow. Until then, see you. Bye.
It's true.